second session of discussion began earlier in the week on consensus decision making. What I would like to do tonight is review for a little bit of time what I talked about in the meeting we had on Monday, and then proceed from there. This, I guess I have a disclaimer in the beginning. These sessions are based on my reading of a particular book called Building United Judgment, Consensus Decision Making, that I was interested in doing. And so the information that I am giving is primarily coming from that source and not from my life experience with consensus decision making. So as I talk, I'm presenting the ideas that they have and can add some things of my own to that, but would also appreciate hearing from any of you your ideas or thoughts, as well as experiences with the process. And I think it will become obvious when there's time to do that. The book that I've been using is put out by the Center for Conflict Resolution in Madison, Wisconsin, which is a consulting group on for organizations, everything from food co-ops to universities. They use consensus decision making in their own unit, and they believe in it. And try to encourage other groups to use it. They also believe that good group skills work regardless of the decision-making process that the group uses, and so they spend a great deal of time talking about what good group skills are, and I'll spend a little bit of time tonight talking about that too. In the first session, I defined consensus decision-making and compared it with other models of decision-making. I also talked about what conditions in a group seem to be favorable for using the process and what conditions make it harder. I'm going to start tonight by defining it one more time. A consensus decision is a decision that all members of a group consent to. That's a little simple, so I'll try to elaborate on that. By consent, I mean that all group members accept the solution or resolution or decision and will support it by their action and attitude. It isn't just saying, yeah, okay, go ahead. That's not consent. That's giving up or compromise. Consent is where it is an acceptable solution to all and will be supported by all. And all is 100% of the group. Now, the process of decision making is probably the most important thing, how the decisions get made. There's a belief in consensus decision making that if everyone in the group is heard, that by doing that kind of listening to each other and talking to each other, that the best solution for the group will emerge out of that discussion. And it also believes that the process of having everyone involved will thereby unite the group. So the benefits or the payoffs of consensus are many, and I'll talk about those in a minute. I also mentioned last time, and I guess I just want to say it again, because the more I think about it, the more it sinks into my head anyway, that what we're talking about are groups of people getting together to make decisions. And making decisions are difficult things to do, even for the individual. It's hard to make a decision sometimes about something. When you put more of us together, it becomes more complicated. And I guess the more I think about it, the more I want to give every group I've ever been in credit for trying. Meetings are one way that groups do get together in order to make those decisions. Meetings have a bad reputation for most people. And they do because there are people trying to get together to decide something, and of course it's hard. Meetings also, just let me say, I know some of you are here and I'm repeating myself, but I guess I want people to, I guess I want us to remember that, that meetings serve a purpose, several purposes. They get us together to interact with each other socially and catch up with each other and check in and remember, oh yeah, what did you do last week, how did that go, that kind of thing. They also help us know who's in the group and who's not in the group. Who's new here? Ah, you. Who's not here anymore? Oh yeah. And to remember who we are as a group. And the third thing that meetings do is they allow the purpose of the group to move forward, and that is to do the business of the group. That's where the decision-making comes in. Consensus is one way to make a decision in a group. Okay, if this is what the definition of consensus could be, let me just say that I compared it last time with several other models. Autocratic decision-making, where one person is in charge. Autocratic with polling, where they include some others. Minority rule, where there might be a subcommittee or a board or something that makes the decisions. Majority rule, where 51% of the people agree to a decision, and there is at most a 49% minority who do not. And consensus, where 100% of the people are involved in making the decision and agreeing to it. I did that kind of comparing, and if you listen to the tape, you can catch up on that. I'd like to tell you some more about consensus and then move on to how to do it, what the steps are. There is a procedure to follow. Then I would like to talk, that's my second thing to do. My third thing to do is to talk about what helps a meeting or a group do that. And the fourth thing is, what are some modifications of the consensus model if a group decides that that's not the model they want to use? Okay, I'm gonna try to do all that. We'll see if I accomplish it. Consensus is a decision that 100% of the group accept and support. It's based on a style or a belief in cooperation, not competition. And that's what makes it, I think, a little more difficult for almost all of us, and that we've been raised in a culture that basically uses competition as a way to get things done, that the best things win and the other things lose. It's competition is an efficient way to proceed. Cooperation is a little more plotty, a little more difficult, and it's the one thing that we're not very used to, I think. And so when we use consensus decision making, it seems difficult. But the reason cooperation is used is that there's a belief that it builds the best for the group, not for the individual, but for the group. Many groups use consensus decision making, and part of the reason that they do that is they believe it's a model for social change. And I think that is based on the idea that cooperation is a way of behaving that's different for us. And so when we try to use consensus decision making here at Holden and cooperate, it often feels strange, I think, somewhat laborious and somewhat tedious. And I think that's partly because we're not used to that. We want to move on a little faster. And we almost have to educate ourselves. It's kind of like the saying, there's no way to peace is the way. It's kind of like there's no way to cooperation unless you cooperate. And the way to cooperate is to listen to everybody and finally reach some agreement. One thing I didn't say last time that I would like to say about consensus decision making is it some consider it a more fair and humane way in that it seems to allow people to be themselves more often in a group than any of the other ways. And by be themselves, I mean that it's a process that allows people to have different personalities and different styles of relating, and that the group somehow adjusts to that. That is, if there's someone in the group who doesn't talk very frequently, the group learns, a good group, learns how to help that person say what they need to say, when they need to say it, without pressure, and without trying to change them too dramatically, but to help them get their ideas out. And if there's someone who talks a great deal in a group, the group learns a way to be able to help that person monitor themselves so that they don't end up talking and talking and talking. Often people do that because they're afraid they're not heard. So the group learns quickly how to let that person know that they're heard. Things like that. And I think that's the thing that excites me about it, is that a group can really learn some good skills on how to interact with one another if they really believe that consensus is what they want to achieve. The other thing about a consensus that I don't know if it's inherent in the model, but most of the groups that I've heard that have used it believe this, and that it understands the notion of discrimination or disenfranchisement, that there are some groups of people in a group that may have a difficult time getting their notions out. That could be in a particular group, for instance, women may have a harder time saying what they think than men. Or young people may get heard a lot less in a group than older people or adults. In a consensus model, if you really believe in 100% participation, you can pull those people in, and their ideas are as important as anyone else's. The same with people who grew up working class in a group of people who grew up middle class or upper class. Have a difficult time sometimes expressing what they want in a group. This group, consensus, tries to equalize that, finds its way. So in that sense, it is a social change model, and it's worth considering. Okay, the advantages, disadvantages of consensus are what I said before. It's a lengthy process. There's no way to be terrifically speedy with it. It's important that the group feel like it's going somewhere, but it will probably take a while. Another disadvantage is, because of that, and other things, it can be frustrating to be in it. And that's partly because we're talking about relationships between people, interactions between humans. Sometimes easier to be isolated and make a decision than it is to make a decision with other people involved. What you're hoping there is that 2 or 20 or 50 heads are better than 1, and that's why you're together making your decision. It also has a disadvantage that it can be a process that can be manipulated by other people, by certain people in the group. Any of the decision-making processes can be manipulated. And so can consensus. And the ways that it can be manipulated is, the group may not really believe that it has equal power. People in the group may not feel like they have equal power and may bow to hierarchy that they may see in the group, or seniority in the group, or popularity in the group, and so that those people who look like they hold some rank in the group may be able to move the group in certain ways. Another way it can be manipulated is that if anyone in the group has information and withholds it, then the group can only make its decision based on what it knows. So if people can, you know, kind of move it in a certain direction if they only allow certain things to be known. Well, but that's true in any kind of group. But consensus can fall prey to that as well. Okay, so that's pretty much what I talked about before. Anybody who was here on Monday night that remembers what I said, that wants to say anything that you think I'm leaving out that ought to be said.
I have one question that I don't think you addressed.
Okay.
Where did the consensus model come from originally?
Well, I don't know a lot about its history. I know that it's become a kind of a model used within peace groups. In this country, it's been used by the Quakers for about 300 years in this country. So they, And part of this Center for Conflict Resolution is attached to the Movement to New Society, which is attached to the Quakers, is a political arm of the Quakers, the Friends, American Friends. So they've experienced it. It's also been used in Russia and Spain and some Native American tribes. So it has been experienced by people throughout history, but I don't know much more than that.
Is there some list you had of conditions that needed to be there in order for it to work?
You think I should go over those? Well, I'll go them fast. I don't want to discuss them in detail.
Of course, we're just listing them again. So
okay. There are five. The book says there are five conditions that help consensus to happen in a group. And that is, one, there a unity of purpose, that the group itself agrees about itself, why it's together. We are such and such, and this is what we do. Two, there's an equal access to power, which is a little bit what I was talking about before, that there aren't, that everyone's point of view has as much power in the group as anyone else's. Three, the group has autonomy from an external hierarchy. That is, it works best when a group is not within another institution or hierarchy that does not operate in a consensus model. For instance, my university department tried to use consensus decision making, but the university itself did not use consensus decision making. So sometimes there were times when the university hierarchy would just come down and say, so-and-so has to make this decision, and it wouldn't be a group decision. And that felt undermining to our process and to our trust. The fourth condition is there's got to be enough time to use the process. It's longer than just raising your hand and voting, and so the group has to give itself the time to do it. And the fifth condition is a willingness to learn how to be a better group member. That doesn't hurt in any meeting, but in consensus, it's particularly important that people know how to interact with each other and how to listen, how to handle conflict, how to clarify, so on. Okay, those are the things you were talking about?
Right.
Well, while I'm looking at my page, the advantages of consensus decision making over other models are that the quality of the decisions are higher. There's creativity and imagination that's encouraged in the group. It fosters a sense of commitment and satisfaction on the part of the group members. Members get to learn new skills in human interaction, and the group develops its values. It begins to know who it is. It says, this is us, this is what we care about. Because we're hearing each other so much. Okay, now I'd like to move on to the new stuff. Before I do that, I'd like to ask you a question. If you think about yourself in a group, what would be one of your strengths that you bring to a group? You may have several, but what's one? The ways you are that you bring to a group. I know that's a personal question. Okay. But I'd like to hear from seven of us about what those are. And hopefully I'll say seven different things.
I'm a listener.
You're a listener. Okay.
Dan brings humor.
What else? What is another strength that you bring to a group?
I can.
The kinds of strengths that you just mentioned are important and necessary to a group to work well. People need to know how to do those things and feel good about those strengths and bring them to the group in order for the group to function. We should walk away from a group meeting feeling like we've brought ourselves and we've contributed and somehow we've gotten something out of the process. If it doesn't feel like that, then it's not working as well as it could. Consensus decision making is a procedure that's pretty simple, but it takes practice to do it right and to do it well. It seems to go through three different stages, and I'll try to explain them fairly simply. I think you're going to be impressed with how simple it is. Now we'll talk about why it's so hard. Can you see this? Am I just writing in the dark here?
Yeah.
I use it.
The blue one would be.
The three stages that, or the three steps that are used. That's not too much better. Preparation. Let me just try the green.
Oh, the good ones are up in the top of the
Yes. The three steps are preparation, discussion, and making the decision. Okay. And by preparation, what's meant in that is that the members of the group prepare themselves mentally for the decision. They get ready for it, okay? As you prepare for a class or you prepare for a race or anything, you prepare yourself for the meeting and for the thing to be decided. And basically, the basic way to do preparation is to set an agenda. Now, I feel like I'm going to be talking about really simple stuff, but I think it's worth remembering why these things are important. Setting an agenda, these people say, is to let people know what the items are to be talked about and what is to be decided. Oh, and what order those items are going to be talked about in a meeting. We're talking about a meeting now. We're here in a meeting, okay? So, they would say that before the meeting starts or right at the beginning of the meeting, everybody in the group knows what the items are that are going to be discussed and in what order they're going to be discussed. They also might include in that any information that people need to have before they're going to discuss it. Any background information, for instance. Now, I made up an example to take us through this. Let's suppose we're the members of a food co-op. We run the place. Okay, we work in it, we set it up, this is who we are. Somebody has an item. They get it on the agenda right away, and they clarify what the item is. And here's the item. The item is, I think the store should be open 1 hour later, Monday, Wednesday, Friday nights. I would like us to decide to do that. And I think it's going to take us a while to decide that because I know there are a lot of issues, so I think it should be first. Okay? An agenda, one thing that we don't do at Holden is we don't know what, for the most part, we don't know what items are coming up when we sit down at a community meeting. We might know one or two big ones or one that's been held over, but we don't know the order necessarily either. They would suggest that a group functions best when that's known ahead of time or right away in the beginning of the group.
Might I suggest that here, if Elmer speaks, we know something about what he's going to talk because he's the head of the whole village. If Corinne talks, she's going to talk about cracks, right?
Well, not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but
in any meeting, at least in Holden's meeting, you're allowed to bring up anything you want, so you don't know ahead of time what it's going to be. And you don't know if it's an item of information or if it's an item for decision. Okay? They're saying, let people know that ahead of time. Write it down, or that's the first thing you do when you get together at the meeting, is you set all that up. Okay, this is their ideas. This is their suggestions. Okay, that's preparation. And that certainly means that the person who's bringing up the item also has to do a little groundwork ahead of time. Once the items are out, and it's decided what order they're going to come in, and there's all kinds of suggestions for that. You put the important and lengthy ones first, or you intersperse them with short, quick ones, and there's all kinds of ways to do it. But at any rate, it gets set and the group agrees to the order. You know what's happening. You move on to discussion. This is probably the biggest area. And I'm going to sound inane when I talk about it. As with discussion, once you've got your order, then the facilitator calls on whoever it is that's bringing up their item. Okay, my item comes up about I want the store open just three nights a week for an hour longer. I'd like us to decide on that. The information is that I see more people at 8 o'clock in the store that I almost have to push them out the door, and I'm sure if we stayed open one more hour, we could accommodate those people. Okay? Then we start to have discussion, and it's going to sound silly, but I say that, then somebody responds. And then after somebody responds to that, a different person responds to what that person said and to what I said. And then after that person responds, the next person responds, and it goes all around the group. Different people respond to different people's ideas. Now the difference is how you do that. In consensus, I think, and in some other models. The way that it's done is that you try to build on each other's ideas, make bridges between your ideas and someone else's, so that somehow the group is cooking this solution up. It's not trying to find the weaknesses in somebody's argument. It's not hearing somebody say one thing about it and somebody else saying a totally different thing that doesn't even, you don't know why, how those two things got going, and then you're suddenly dealing with this and you're dealing with this. But somehow the members are trying to build on each other's thoughts to come up with some sort of resolution like this. All kinds of things go on while that's happening. Some people are clarifying, like Elmer says. Some people are condensing the thoughts. Like Dan says, some people are noticing that there's conflict between a couple of people, and like Linda, and she's pointing it out and saying, do we need to talk about that over there? People are doing all the things that they know how to do and bringing their strengths to that discussion so that somehow or other that decision is percolating and getting created. Okay. Pretty simple. Finally, somebody, usually the facilitator, says, let's test for consensus. It looks like we might have some agreement here. So the facilitator might say, it sounds to me like the group has come up with is that we will try be open Monday, Wednesday, Friday nights till 9, and we will open 1 hour later on the days following for cleanup. That seems to be what the group is saying. Is that right? And then people say, yeah, I agree, or no, I don't agree. Now, if they agree, that's great. That means the decision's made. Then you go on to something else. If, however, somebody doesn't agree, and that can be one person who doesn't agree, then the group checks that out. For instance, somebody could say, you know, I just don't like that idea. I'm scared to stay open that late. It's dark. I don't like it. In the neighborhood we're in, I have to walk home at night by myself. It just makes me too nervous. At least by 8, I feel safer, and the buses run more regularly. The group starts, okay, what are we going to do with that? How are we going to work with that? What does that mean? That person's valued, that person's fears are valued. It works out. Then you try to move to consensus, and if it looks like the group is moving to consensus, test that again. Say, it looks like what we're saying is that we won't be open on the evenings, we won't be open on Saturdays, something like that. Okay? The group works and works and works with it. And all the while, it's trying to create. Okay? If decision doesn't ever get made, and that may be a question that you have, you do a couple of things. Sometimes decisions don't get made in any model, but particularly in consensus, because there's not enough information. People just don't know enough to be able to decide, so you can postpone it. Another reason that consensus, another thing you can do with that is that the person who has a problem with it can concede. And by concede, I mean that they probably should offer some sort of acceptable compromise. If I were the person who was nervous about the evening hours, I would like to establish some sort of escort service that somebody always goes home with me. And then I'd like to evaluate it after a month. Okay, that would be a concession, but it wouldn't be disowning what was important to that person. Okay, that's it. It's pretty simple. In the process, I feel so goofy. You know, this book is, I don't know, how many pages thick? 120 pages of information. The procedure for consensus is 2 pages long. All the rest of it is how to behave in a group. Okay. Anybody want to respond to what I've said so far about procedure? Why not? I'm going to talk a little bit about how to behave in a group. Is it?
In the discussion part of it, how important is it that everyone respond? It seemed like last time you said something about that. Everyone in the group should have a voice and should encourage other people who don't usually speak and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Does that seem to be really important to get everyone's opinion on?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I mean, it seems to me silence is affirmation of what's going on. Mm-hmm. That's much better.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine so long as you check it out. To assume that it's affirmation, unless that person is really looking at you and shaking their head. And unless you know that person very well. To assume that it's consent, I think it could even be just saying, Ralph, you haven't said anything yet. Do you have anything different to say than what's been said? You could say, no, I'm fine. And then we could just move on. But it's important to get every viewpoint out.
Mm-hmm. It just seems in terms of numbers, you know. Small group compared to 7 or 8.
Yeah. You've got to keep your eyes open with each other. I think now, once again, I'm talking naively. I've only read this. I haven't lived it as what I read. So those of you who have experienced it in a more pure form may want to say something about that.
Does the book say anything about the size of the group? Isn't it effective, more effective?
Consensus seems to work best with a group that is small, homogeneous in purpose. Let's see. I wrote it down here. That trust each other to be cooperative and not competitive and not pull rank on each other. That might be it. But when I read it, I think, for instance, the size of the Holden Winter community is a workable size. When you get up to hundreds, then I think there's modifications to use. And I think it works really well with a very small group. I think the larger the group, the more roles people have to play in the group. There are several roles that can be played, and we've talked about them. Facilitator, timekeeper, recorder of the decisions, a devil's advocate, a person who's aware of the emotional climate of the group, all of that. The more those kinds of things get going, the more smoothly I think it can run. Any other thoughts about the process?
But you're not saying, Judy, that everybody has to talk on everything. That when you say, do we have consensus, and people say, yes, 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 that's okay.
Yeah. But if somebody looks at their feet for the whole hour,
no,
then you might want to check them out.
So, can we talk about holding?
You can do whatever you want. I'm going to move on in a little bit to things that help a group work, but yes, this is a good time to do it.
Yeah, because I suppose one problem is how changing this community is, that you just, you know, when you start being able to kind of feel the group and the different members that they leave and new people come in. That plus we, you know, the problem that we've certainly brought up before, that we have a winter community deciding winter community things, but there's also a board of directors. And it's hard sometimes to know what. Is that an example like the university? Or you're also under it?
Yeah, I think it is an example like that. I think Holden has a lot of pieces to it, and there's a lot of different kinds of decisions that get made in Holden. Mm-hmm. I think the community meeting can serve a purpose to making certain kinds of decisions, and they can use the consensus model to do that. We obviously at Holden don't use the consensus model to make every single decision at Holden. Because people have different roles here and they make those decisions. It seems to me that what the community meeting does is we spend time making decisions about our lives together here. We don't decide whether there's going to be a new hydro or something. See, all together. We don't sit down and do that. But we do decide whether or not we're going to have a solitude day, because that is how is our living together. Or we do decide that we're going to have a fun evening kind of thing, or what we're going to do with our money in the offerings. Like we make those decisions, and those seem perfectly right for consensus to me. Yeah.
It seems in a large group like Holden or any other group, what would be difficult about the consensus model would be to have everyone consent to working by consensus, because people's levels of sitting, sometimes I don't mind sitting for 2 or 3 hours if we have to do it to get through, but with the greater number of people, I see people's levels of, and I think that's what the consensus model would say, sit as long as you have to have everyone be heard.
Well, you're talking about whether people have an attitude of acceptance of consensus.
Right, exactly.
Well, it certainly helps a group if it does. but I think this book is saying is you're trying to approximate consensus as best you can. Given the culture that we're in, given all the other hierarchies and organizations that we have to live with. They would say, however, I think that it's because that bringing in new people is really an important part of the process. How you do that, and how you close out the old ones, so that the old ones aren't sitting around like ghosts in the room, and the new ones are really in it, and they know how to operate within the process right away. So you're not losing their information until 3 months down the road when they finally figure out how to do it. So that could be a real extensive orientation, for instance, of an explanation of this is how we make decisions here. These are the kinds of decisions we make as a group. These are the kinds of decisions we don't make as a group. It could mean a handbook. It could be a sheet. All kinds of ways, but the group takes its time to bring those new members in a thorough way.
And we haven't done that. mean, we've just kind of announced we operate by consensus and the people that are new.
You watch.
Know that.
You know how to do it. And I don't think we do. I mean, I feel like I've learned a fair amount of group skills and just because of my training. And I don't know how to do things. I mean, I don't. I'm learning it, but I don't. I didn't walk in knowing how to do it. I haven't been in a group that's ever done it. I didn't know. So I think orientation or handbook or something is helpful just for the process.
I think the bigger struggle is the non-homogeneity of the whole community. That the assumption that Holden is a homogeneous group is not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's more of a struggle. I think that relates to her. And that's a symptom of a larger problem. But people come here for such divergent reasons, and all of which I think are very legitimate, that the orientation would be you only getting halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
But still, that doesn't gainsay anything about what you're saying. I think it's a very useful model for certain identified things with preparation. The preparation, as you said there, for this.
I'd like to respond to the homogeneity thing, unless you're going to. Okay, let me just say one thing about that. I think there is a basic homogeneity here in that we've all agreed to be here. And by that I mean is that for the most part, I do see everyone contributing to living together. What I don't see is many people who come up and don't do the system. Most everyone does the system, and so what I and most people understand that we are a retreat education center. I mean, I think there's some basic things we do understand. And I think we could play to the strength of that a little more by doing an orientation that might help people develop an attitude about, yes, we are a group, at least in certain ways, we function as a group. A little more than we do, is all I'm saying. I'm not saying that we all buy everything, but...
My feeling is you didn't respond to what I said. I agree with what you said.
Oh, okay. Right. You're saying that different people come for different reasons.
Oh,
yeah.
I think that's a problem for this model, which doesn't mean it's insurmountable, or doesn't mean that it should be tried or like that, but I think it's a serious underlying problem. To be here, even, I don't think everybody's here because it's an adult retreat center, by any means. You're here for personal transition problems, which is really what it's for too. But to be here for the same thing for different reasons affects how you're going to interact with certain matters too. And even the level of your participation positively towards the well being.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not to be, it sounds negative, I mean, it's, I think it's a realistic dimension too.
Mm-hmm. Dan, did you
want to
now say
you kind of? Well, I was just going to add, I think an important thing Holden can do that even if we don't have a perfect situation for consensus, that part of being here would be to learn this form of decision-making as really a counterculture, non-competitive. And many of us will go to groups that are much more long-term together where we could bring this. Because we so often groups just assume, well, the Robert's Rules of Order is the way to do a group, and nobody's ever thought of it as an option. So it's a learning that can be part of the whole experience, even if there are problems. But actually,
and there would be problems with any decision making model, because there are problems with any decision making model. And it takes time to learn any model. Learn Robert's Rules of Order, that takes a long time. So you might as well, I mean, we could also learn consensus decision making. or how to listen or how to handle conflict, those kind of things. One thing that Jackie mentioned before she left today to me was, what if we did 5 or 10 minutes in the beginning of a meeting or sometime on different pieces of how to be a group member, of how to make decisions, as a way to just literally educate ourselves about that. Let me give you an example of something that I learned in here that I didn't know before, or I hadn't thought of before. And that is that one of the things that the consensus model tries to do is help people give their ideas as a gift to the group, as opposed to owning their ideas and having to argue for them, so that any idea that anyone has then becomes a part of the pot or part of the dough that's getting worked with. And it no longer is Judy's idea or Elmer's idea or anyone's idea, it's the group's idea. And so when it gets decided on, it's really an amalgamation, or it's the best idea that's come out of it. And the reasoning behind that is you probably wouldn't have had the idea in the first place unless all these things had been popping anyway. And the group is giving you the gift of inspiration and creativity, and you're giving back your thoughts. For me, that was really helpful. It was like, gosh, I can say an idea, and then I can sit back, and I don't have to try to defend it, and I don't have to think of every single angle, and you know, try to convince the group, because I might change my mind 2 minutes from now, and because somebody else said something. It was a real breakthrough for me. I was wondering if things like that might not be a helpful thing to periodically say to ourselves as a way to just kind of learn a little more. Okay. Anyway, that's taken off from Jackie's suggestion, but. And again, suggestion that we learn. Linda, can you say something?
I was just going to ask how you might do that. You know, that would just be a mindset that you start out a meeting with, you know, and present that as.
Up in the item section there. You know, this is my item, but, you know, it's a
gift. So it would just be a mindset that you'd be coming from this. I don't know, I don't think I completely understand that.
You mean how would that work?
Yeah, how would that work?
One way it could work, I suppose, would be that the group that someone proposes the item that we spend 5 minutes in the beginning of each group learning a new group technique. Okay, and so that gets decided 1 week, and then there's every 5 minutes thereafter until it gets decided differently. Somebody presents something about a group method or group technique. I just thought that up there off the top of my head. but Dan, I was really trying to just pick up on the notion of learning. Mm-hmm. Did you have other ideas about that as well? Mm-hmm.
Part of my concern about that is I remember in congregations I served with just having some very hurtful situations because we used Robert's Rules of Order. And ended up having a minority of people that really felt that they had been beaten and defeated or lost, and the resentment that carried. You know, and I wish I would have gone someplace to learn this. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say something that I think it's very important that we set aside enough time too. I think that's what I felt is the most problem in our community meetings. You know, we've got this 1 hour and we're supposed to cram everything into it, and everybody, you know, we're getting closer to 7:30 and everybody's getting very tense. Maybe if we knew in advance more of an agenda or something for weeks before, we knew what was maybe going to be on, you know, up for decisions for that evening, better preparation, I guess, that step of the procedures there. But I like what you said about, you know, how you can throw out an idea and be happy that it's changed further on. Because last night when I had thrown out the idea of who to give contributions to. 5 minutes later, I changed my mind and thought, should all go to Ethiopia? No, and I felt good about that and ended up changing again.
Yeah, I feel great now.
The best of both worlds, the competitive and the cooperative.
I think it's really good what you said too about, you know, how you're building, and just the whole idea of building up rather than what happens so often here is someone, I don't know what the motivations are, and I'm probably not guiltless either, but just throwing in a comment that does absolutely no good. And you know, I think we find ourselves, a lot of us just think, why did they even say that? And it only destroyed what we had going, if we had anything going, or bringing something that's totally new. Mm-hmm. You know, just to be aware of that and to think through what you're about to bring up, if you're about to say something at all. Ask yourself if it's really building and what's going on, if it's a negative. And these things, I don't know, maybe they should be said before. There's all things, a couple of comments to break down everything that's been built up so far and something.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it builds the trust. It has to be.
Along the same line, we discussed the process of the discussion that it's bridge building.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like then you're always developing towards something. What if there are two opposing ideas? It's probably best that they're out at the beginning rather than 10 minutes later someone says, like, throws a wrench and says, I don't want to do this. Or,
right. No, I don't want to give the impression that you just take one idea and try to follow it until it's logical conclusion. That's not what I mean by bridge building, is that you notice the connections between the ideas. So even if an idea seems to be in opposition, there's still the connection there, which is, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I experience it all this way, and so I'm like this, and then that can start something going, and that's just fine. And that's part of the group learning to facilitate itself and say, maybe pick up a little bit on the idea of being positive, that you can find areas of agreement, even in a conflict. There are some areas of commonality sometimes, and those can be built on. And then, oh yeah, conflict isn't bad. That's creative juices flowing. That's fine. That just leads me to a couple of other things I want to say.
John Sharon used to try to teach consensus. One thing I thought was helpful that he always said was that the sensitivity, if you're kind of against something but feel the whole group is really for it, that kind of a group commitment would be that you only really say no if it's a real moral issue with you.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if there's kind of an agreement that somebody is kind of subversive or just to be stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's helpful.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a process in consensus decision making that I haven't talked about, which is called blocking. Mm-hmm. You can block consensus, and there's steps for how to do that. And one of the steps is a real sort of self-examination about, is my opposition to what the whole group seems to be deciding based on some moral or value kind of judgment that for me would really be in conflict if I went along with it. And if that's the case, then you are obliged to block consensus so that that can get figured out. But if it's more, I have discomfort, let me just say such and such and such, that's fine. But you can block it if you have to, but it's more like a moral stance, right? And that's because consensus believes in the power of the individual. Each individual is important in the group. Let me just say, I guess I would like to read you the table of contents about the things that we haven't talked about. I would like to read you the table of contents. when to use consensus, step-by-step process, attitudes and consensus, what attitudes impede consensus and what attitudes foster consensus, how to participate, when agreement can't be reached, what does the group do, how to structure your meetings, some of this stuff. What is the role of the group facilitator? What do we expect from facilitator? What is a facilitator supposed to do? That's a very lengthy chapter. Communication skills, how to listen, how to give feedback. How to work with emotions, chapter 9. What about feelings in a group? What do we do with them? Chapter 10, conflict and problem solving. How do you respond to conflict? How do you make use of it? How do you build your group? And then how to apply consensus to other kinds of special situations. Okay, so there's all kinds of things to chew on if we wanted to chew. Lots. I also think, last night I just kind of noticed at the same time as I was in the discussion on what we were going to do with our offerings, I just kind of watched a little bit, and I saw that we were really doing a lot of this already. We didn't hear from everybody, and sometimes that leaves me with kind of a longing to know where other people are, and if there are other ideas in the pot that didn't get heard, and I sometimes walk away not feeling like we're united, but I did see that people were really trying to understand each other and listen and pay attention, and we weren't trying to knock ideas down, but we were trying to build them up in that particular case. And I felt good about us as a group trying to work toward that, for, you know, for all our sort of naivete of all that could be. So, that's my reflection. Do you want to hear about adaptations of the process, or don't you? Or do we feel like we're done? I know you don't know what that is, so how can you say anything? Do you want to sit for 5 more minutes? Maybe that's a better question. Okay. Oh, here it is. Consensus decision making works best with small, homogeneous groups with common values, high trust levels, plenty of time and patience. And you can move your group in those directions to try to get that to happen. Okay, how to adapt the process. This is one of the last chapters in the book, and they put it last because they said they really hope that people work real hard to use the consensus decision making before they give it up, or before they try to adapt it. That you really have taught yourself everything you can. Then they said that there are some times when a group may choose not to use the pure consensus model. And here are some examples of that. If you have an extremely large group, meaning hundreds of people, you may not want to use the pure model because it would take too long. And it might even be unworkable. People wouldn't be able to hear each other. So they have something called the representative consensus decision-making model. And that is that small groups, called often affinity groups, are formed where everybody belongs to a small group. They all talk about the same item that's being discussed, but each group is talking about it using the consensus method. Then they select a representative who goes to a representative's group, and they use consensus decision making. These are all affinity groups, to come up with a decision. They go back to their affinity groups, check it out, and they have to go back and forth as many times as they need to until finally what's happened is that all 100 people have come to the same decision and agreed on. So that's one modification of it. Clamshell Alliance in Maine used that a lot when they would get together out in the fields. And they're protesting of the nuclear power plants. Another adaptation is what's called the majority rule escape clause. And that is that a group decides to use consensus method until it's ready to make the decision. When it looks like it's nearing consensus, they vote. And then majority rule wins. So it flips to a more competitive model, but what it tends to do is that it's faster. You're willing to live with a minority who doesn't go along with the idea. And the group decides whether or not it's willing to do that. But in the case of an emergency or in the case of a group that just really has a finite amount of time and that's the only time it'll ever allow itself to work within, that might be a way to operate. There's also a minority rule escape clause where the group uses the consensus procedure until it's ready to make a decision, and then if it cannot reach consensus, it authorizes a subset of members that everyone agrees on to go off and make the decision. There was kind of a committee.
We do that, I think, with the program coordinator.
Yeah. And then we go along with the decision. We don't come back and rehash it. Okay. And then the last one is something called the consensus trust model, which is quite elaborate and is used often in political caucuses, how to handle lots of people to try to come to some resolutions or party planks or whatnot. And it's a complicated process, but it uses consensus. Up to a certain point, then it uses majority rule, but then it depends on how big the division is, and if it's a large division, you do something, if it's a small division, you do another thing, and so on. Women's political caucuses have been using that model for a while, and that seems to work, for the most part, to people's satisfaction. The one thing that they stress, though, is that whatever decision-making model you use it, and you don't change it in the middle of a decision. So that if you're committed to consensus decision making and you come to a tough decision, you go through the process till the end. And then next time you bring up as an item, I don't think we should use consensus decision making. You don't change in midstream. You don't suddenly flip to majority rule when you're a group that says that you're consensus decision making, because it undermines the trust and the belief in the process and the trust in each other, that you're willing to hang in there. And I think that makes a lot of sense to me.